that's the approach I bring to life. I'm like, look, if there's a mistake in my business, it's mine. It's on me. It's not on anyone else. And so I think that level of responsibility, and again, in good to great, the way Jim Collins describes it is, these great leaders, mistakes are on me, greatness is on my team. And I honestly believe that. I mean, because I can see, you know, my team, my growth has exploded since I brought a team on, and they do things in a way that I could never have done.
Hey there, Multipliers, it's Winston Faircloth, and welcome back to episode 71 of For Love of Team. This is the podcast where leaders simplify teamwork, helping you surround yourself with others doing the work they love, simplifying your business processes so that you can serve more focused on the work that you love. And before we begin part one of today's special guest episode, I'm thrilled to share with you that For Love of Team retreats are coming starting next month. These are invitation-only, intimate, and immersive experiences that covers our For Love of Team method, helping you start or build the team that you love. You'll leave with clarity, confidence, and commitment in building the team that fits you, your clients, and your desired impact. And we're going to offer two different retreat styles. First, our in-person retreats. We're going to be hosting in 2021 three different in-person retreats for up to seven business founders each over the coming months. One will be at the beach, one will be at the mountains, and one will be in an urban setting. And these are all-inclusive with lodging, food, community, and content provided. You just have to meet us at our private location. And secondly, we have the virtual retreat. And this is perfect if you want to save travel time and money. For Love of Team comes to you with our remote retreat. The same great content and community, along with some special surprises, for about one-third off the in-person retreat investment. We pass our savings on to you. Both offer lots of space for reflection and connection so you can craft the team of your dreams. And if you're curious, send me a text. Here's my personal number, and I'll repeat it again at the end of the podcast. 1-754-800-9461. That's 1-754-800-9461. For more information, let's just have a conversation. And now let's introduce today's special guest. Bobby Klink is a Harvard lawyer turned online entrepreneur. He's host of the Certified Badass Online Marketing Podcast and creator of the entirely free Badass Online Marketing University, or BOMU, to help you avoid death by a thousand courses. I think that's his tagline. And Katie Chase is Bobby's integrator, aka the number two in the business, the person responsible for converting vision into action. And as an entrepreneur herself, she brings heart and organization in managing the team that brings Bobby's vision to life, helping him stay focused on what he loves to do. Our interview is wide-ranging, fun, a little irreverent, engaging. Let's buckle up and find out what it's like when a visionary is paired with an integrator. I thought it'd be great just to kind of start out with both of your all's backstories in terms of how we got to this place. But Bobby, a lot of people know you. You're out there. You're the guy I most admire in terms of not going with the flow and going with your gut. And so I think it'd be great just to get your backstory, and Katie, your backstory is part of the intro.
I mean, I guess my backstory is, you know, there's a lot to it, and it depends on how, you know, I can tell it in 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours. But I guess what I'll say is this, like, I've always been a bit different, an understatement way of saying it, but I never fit in. I was always a person who was a bit different. And some of the stuff I didn't realize other people were doing. Like, I've just come to this realization lately. I have asked why more than probably anyone else out there. Maybe not more than anyone else, but I ask why constantly. I always want to understand why I'm doing something, why someone's telling me to do something, why are we doing it this way? And I've never been one to simply take kind of the standard as a way to go. And so that's my background of who I am as a person in a lot of ways. And then I go to Harvard Law School and become a lawyer. And, you know, you're kind of steeped in a lot of this, like, this is how it's done, et cetera. But at the same time, they encouraged, I mean, I took courses there, and it was not, you didn't assume judges were right. You questioned, you thought about it. You did all of that stuff. And so that was my training. And then I become a lawyer in, ooh, that was not the right career choice for me because I spent all of my time basically fighting with people. For 17 years of my life, I was fighting with people. And anyone who knows me well enough knows that's not who I am. I enjoy having, like, you know, Katie and I will have long discussions, debates, talk about ideas, talk about that. But actually arguing and really fighting with people is not something I do. And so I had a kind of a calling to change things back in 2016, 2017. I finally admitted it. I got into the online space. And at first I tried to be a good boy. I tried to do what I was told, just listen to what everybody was doing and follow, you know, follow this path. And you know what's happened since then, Winston, that didn't keep, you know? And so, and I think there's something to that. Like, you know, what is it? A zebra can't change its stripes. That's kind of like with me. I couldn't stop asking, why are we doing this? And looking for deeper things and deeper meanings. And that's kind of how my business has come about since then.
Your business has really grown because you have asked those probing questions. And I've heard you say on some of your podcasts in the past how these gurus and others who basically put something out there, they don't necessarily even have the answer to the why. They just are doing what they've been told, and now they're passing it down the generations of other students.
Yeah, I feel like we're playing a very bad game of telephone. And so what started as like one piece of one thing, of one tactic maybe that you might want to use, has gotten passed down as if it's lore and this is the way instead of one piece. And this is like a lot of this has happened where, I mean, I honestly believe everybody's teaching this has good intentions, but I believe most of the people have good intentions. This is what they've been taught. This is what we've been made to believe. And even with me, like Katie and I will have discussions about like, a lot of the famous, or not famous, but the stuff we hear a lot about mindset stuff, where we didn't even question it. And here's one that Katie and I had to talk about forever. Like the old people don't act unless they invest. That notion that we have to make people pay for stuff to actually take action. You know, for a long time, we both believed that. Katie and I would talk about that. And then we're like, oh no. And again, I asked the question. I said, no, that this is a causation correlation problem. If you give something away for free, you'll have a lot more people grab it who won't take action. But the action takers will take action regardless of whether you charge. And we've seen that proven out, you know, and it's just like seeing the counterexamples is what helps. Like there's a woman who was in my coaching program last year on scholarship the entire year. And she went from nothing to a six-figure business because she was committed. She was ready to go and she wanted to take action. And so anyone who wants to tell me people won't take action on that, I say, no, but see Melanie. And I'll say, look at her. And there's counterexamples for all of this stuff we're being taught. And so that's kind of where I just look at it. And I'm willing to push boundaries because I think it's part of my calling, I guess, to do that.
And your online business career, air quotes, so far, has I got to know you initially through your template catalog, through a mutual mentor, Anna Powers, in terms of your connection with her, but you've really broadened your reach and the kinds of things you're doing now.
Yeah. And again, this is where I also do say that I was, again, we all here, we believe in divine providence, and I was put here for a reason, and I was put in the position I was put for a reason. And I joke with people, when I got into the online space, I was selling a product that nobody wants, and where the good results are, nothing happened. I mean, think about how fun it is to get those testimonial wins. I bought Bobby's templates and nothing happened. I mean, that's a testimony. That's a good win for my clients. And so there was that, but also like it is the ultimate in prevention, in prophylactic product. And so it's not the kind of thing where the traditional direct response, like let's get people, let's funnel them, let's get them to buy right away, works. It just doesn't. And so in a sense, I had to try a different way. Luckily, I was raised by a father who was a businessman, who ran a chain of drugstores, who I was learning, even though at the time I thought I didn't want to be a business guy, I wanted to be a lawyer. I was learning how to do business the right way. And And so luckily I was able to just kind of apply that. Then people started asking me, hey, Bobby, how are you able to actually connect with people online? Because people noticed that I could connect with people online in many ways deeper than a lot of people can in in-person connections. And so they wanted to know how I was doing that. And again, a lot of people thought it was like, couldn't be taught. And I said, it can be taught. I'm just acting like a human being. I'm acting like by the golden rule, by any sense of what you should do is just how I was acting. And in some ways, that's what I like to say. I'm the most conventional rebel there is in the online space. Because my essential message is treat people like people. I mean, Katie, is that about right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And not as a transaction. And meanwhile, Katie, you were building your business in a parallel universe to Bobby in terms about the same time frame, right? In terms of when you came into this work and started.
Yeah. I mean, I've been working in the online space since 2015 is when I started. I actually worked, oddly enough, I was a legal transcript proofreader, and then I got into transcription. And then I discovered online business through work as a VA, because it was so exciting to me to learn about all the strategies and the mechanics behind building an online business. And so that was back in 2016 when I became a VA. And long story short, I learned about Bobby through another podcast, and the client I was working with at the time, I'm like, you need his templates. This is amazing. And I was in the works of building my own training program for other VAs. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab his template library when he first came out of it. And so I was just like, everyone, Bobby, you need to look at his templates. They're amazing. And so that's kind of how I found out about Bobby and got connected into his world. I was one of his first testimonials on his website. And then we were connected later on with another client I was working with. We had gotten reconnected, but it was over the last few years, we kind of had like touch points of connection as he was building his business and I was kind of doing my client work and building my business. And but we really got connected in 2019 when I, in the process of building my training program business, and it was like something was off. Something was like, I know I can do this. I'm really, really smart. I've helped people in multiple seven-figure businesses. Like I know all of the strategy. I know the mechanics. I know how to build a business. But it was just like every single time I was trying to do the type of work I was doing, it was like running through sand. I just could not get the momentum or the energy or the passion behind it to do it. And then I started pivoting back towards client work, which I loved. I loved being able to get results for my clients, help them with their big projects. A lot of my clients weren't techie, and I was like, oh, I love getting in there and doing all the tech and working and all and stuff. So he was doing a rebrand at the time. He said, I need someone to project manage this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm on board. So let's do it. So he hired me for that. Meanwhile, I was still trying to build a completely separate part of my business, and which was helping people with the tech in their business. And I went through a launch and it just bombed. It just bombed. I put so much time into it. I actually made myself sick trying to get this off the ground, all the while working with Bobby and loving it. Loving every minute of it. Everything I was doing was just great. It was lighting me up, but my own business wasn't lighting me up like that. So long story short, Bobby was like, you know, I'm gonna convince you to come on to my team permanently as my integrator. I'm like, okay, you can try, but I really have this vision of helping online entrepreneurs get over those hurdles so they can get their giftings and their skills out there to the people that need them. I have this trajectory in my mind and you're just not gonna take me off track. So, you know, you try all you want, but of course he won me over. And it was amazing for me because I also believe in providence. It's a very big part of my life. And it was one of those moments where, you know, as we were working together for a few months, I'm like, I actually, in my work with Bobby, it doesn't feel like running through sand. I feel like I can run all day long doing what I'm doing with Bobby. And it did not feel that way in my own business. So that's when I realized, you know, I learned the difference between a visionary and integrator. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that more soon. But that's when I realized, oh my gosh, I'm an integrator. I work really well working in the business. And Bobby, he's a visionary. So he has these big picture, big ideas. And that was the stuff I struggled with the most. And so it was just, it clicked. It was like puzzle pieces fitting together. And I'm like, now I'm where I belong. But also that vision I had for my business of helping so many online entrepreneurs, I'm helping more entrepreneurs now than I ever was working in my business. I'm having more impact. I'm able to interact with people on a level I wasn't able to get to in my own business. And so that's kind of like a snapshot of how like the timeline of Bobby and I connecting and where we are now. It's just amazing. And it was really just a short period of time, 2019 to now. It's like lifetime ago.
I let her talk, but I have to correct a couple of things in there.
Uh-oh.
or elaborate on a couple.
There you go.
Okay.
What she left out was, and again, I think this is an interesting piece. Like, so she bought, she said my temple library. It wasn't even my temple library then. It was my membership, whatever I called it. So she paid $247 to now was getting grandfathered into everything. And this was like my very first successful launch. She was my first testimonial, one of my first. But also we stayed connected and I did guest training for her once, like when she was first launching a course, and then let her include my website templates as just a free bonus for her people. So that was her first time. And then the way we actually started working together was then in 2019, she came back to me and said, I'm going to be doing this again. Can I, was asking me about, you know, including it again and including my training. And I was saying, yeah, but I was smart enough to say, what are you doing these days? And she told me what she was doing. And I said, well, and she mentioned she was doing some client work and all that. And I said, well, here's what I've got going on. And I listed, and I think we were having this conversation over Facebook Messenger.
Oh my gosh.
I probably listed like 18 paragraphs of the stuff I had going on and said, how can you help me with this? Like literally that's what I asked her. And I put it on her, and then she came back to me and she was the one who said, well, you know, she could help me, and we chatted. I think we probably got on Zoom. I don't remember. But that's kind of a bit of the backstory that she didn't mention. That again, it was just this kind of keeping connections and making sure that we continued to stay in touch with each other. And then she is right. I mean, once she did my rebrand, I had to let go my only employee I had at the time in the middle of that. Just to give you a sense, my rebrand was happening while I was out in Southern California for two different events. And I let go of my one employee a week before that.
Goodness.
And so Katie was the only one there, and she took care of it. But then I talked to her because I had to let this employee about, hey, how could you help me going forward? Brought her on, and I immediately saw what she was doing in my business made perfect sense. And that's where I said, I'm going to figure out how to structure something so it works so that we can work together and it does make sense to work together. So again, one of the things that I'm good at, I have a lot of flaws. Katie will tell you, I have plenty of flaws, but I am a scary judge of talent, to quote, I think it's The Recruit, the Pacino movie. That's one of the things I can do. And I spotted it in her and I said immediately, she is born to be doing this stuff. And I'm going to figure out a way to make an offer to her that is attractive so that she can continue to do the things she wants to do, but in my business and not in her own business.
And Bobby, I remember that you were coached against hiring somebody that was in their own business, right?
Yeah. So everybody I talked to, the mastermind I was in, they all said you should not hire an entrepreneur because it's like, and again, their way of looking at it was they're not going to be invested in your business. They're not going to, you know, they're going to have an itch to go do all the, you know, do their things, et cetera. This was the standard concept that everyone there was talking about. And again, they would, the coaching piece there would have been hire an executive assistant or a virtual assistant and then like make him go through the ringer and do all that. Well, part of my problem was, and for all your listeners, don't be like Bobby. Just to give you a sense, in 2018, I had $250,000 business that I did entirely on my own, not even a VA, just me. 2019, my online business didn't grow that much, but a couple of cases came back to life in my law firm. So I had law firm and I made the same amount of money working basically half time in my online business. And I didn't hire anybody until like July. So the problem was I was at a point where I needed help, candidly. And I think Katie will now know, like looking at me, like the notion of using kind of the mailroom strategy where you hire someone at the very bottom and have them work their way up would never work because I am not a detail person. And if I have to lay out procedures and all that stuff, it's going to be a mess. And so I kind of looked at it this way. Like I had her come on as a project manager, like an OBM, basically, an online business manager. And the way I looked at it when I was bringing her onto my team full time is I said, worst case, if she sticks around for 6 months, 6 months from now, my business will be organized. It's going to be way better than it is now. And so I looked at it that way. And again, part of it was because I knew Katie, because we had interacted so much, I knew she wasn't going to be someone who would come on and then like just like leave me high and dry with no notice. Like, you know, there are some people who would do that. And that could be a problem. But I just knew that wasn't going to happen. But I also, again, one of the realities, and Winston, I'm sure you've seen this, like, building a business is a lot harder than a lot of people make it seem. And so I knew that there are some people who would just decide, you know what, if I can make a good living doing something I love, having the impact I want, that's what matters. And I had a feeling that would be Katie, that if she got into the business and she was seeing it, she was not going to have the itch. And again, who knows, maybe a couple of years from now, she'll decide she wants to go do something on her own. And that's fine. I mean, but I was, you know, every minute she worked on my business was a blessing to me. And so I'm not going to say no to an excellent opportunity because of one little thing.
Talk a little bit about how, you know, a lot of business owners hit that wall of complexity and they can get to the point of burnout before they really take action to start investing in a team. And it's this chicken or egg concept for a lot of folks. They really wrestle with this. What have you, or Katie, either one, what have you all seen in terms of getting past that initial chicken or egg situation?
Well, see, my thing is, and again, like I said, I'm a horrible example because I waited so long, but I actually recognized my problem was something different. The problem I was dealing with and the reason why I was reluctant to hire was actually because in my law firm, I set up my own law firm unexpectedly, not because I was wanting to, not because I was expecting to. And at first it was just me. And then eventually I hired an associate. So a younger attorney who started with me, who stayed with me for, I think it was about 2 years, right around 2 years, maybe a little bit more. And I had to let her go as I was making the transition into the online space, not because of anything she had done wrong, not because she had not lived up to expectations, but because I was making this choice to pivot what I was doing. And that conversation was one of the most painful that I've had to have. And again, she was crying and, you know, it was not fun. And that I think was the big holdup for me. I was like, what if that happens again? And I was holding on to that. And then again, this is where having coaching was important. My coach said, he said, well, do you think, he asked me first, did I get value out of having her on my team? I said, yes. And he said, do you think she did? And I said, there's no question. She has actually sent me notes since then saying I was the best boss she ever had. She appreciated that time. And he said, so she wouldn't have traded that 2 years to avoid that pain, would she? I said, no. And he said, then quit fixating on the end and start thinking about that 2 years. And again, it's funny. This is part of that mindset that helped me with thinking about Katie. I was like, I'm not going to focus on she might leave in a year or two. I'm going to focus on what can happen in the short term. So that was my thing. That was my holdup. I don't know what other people's are. And Katie, I don't know what you would say on that. But I mean, that's where my problem was in hiring.
Well, I think, I mean, most of the people in the online space, the problem is, I think there's a lot of mindset, but it comes down to money for a lot of people is trying to make that first hire. And you know, I just want to acknowledge that is a hard decision. Do I spend money on ads or do I spend money on help, and which one is going to grow my business? And when you're a new business owner, it's hard to discern which one is most valuable. I think Bobby and I both would say, if you can afford help, get the help, because then you can focus on the other business building, the high dollar stuff in your business while they're doing all the canvas stuff and the stuff that's taking you away from those things. And you'll actually build your business faster, even though it's going to feel like it costs more. In the long run, it's actually going to free you up and your time is very, very valuable. And so, I mean, those are just lessons that I think online entrepreneurs learn over time with experience. But I think we've both said it at one point or another that the sooner you can hire, as soon as humanly possible, hire a team.
But I do want to put something in there because, like, and again, this is where I'm different than most. Like, a lot of people are just say, hire. I'm like, if you find yourself that you have plenty of time, you don't need to hire yet, right? I mean, it's when all of a sudden you start to feel the time constraints. And again, it could be time constraints in your business, in your life, in the combination. I don't care which. Look, if you have plenty of free time and, you know, you have time to just, you know, go watch Netflix for 4 hours during the afternoon most days, probably don't hire yet, right? I mean, you've got the time, fill your time first. But no, you're right. I thought about another block I had. Part of the problem was because I waited so long, I had this concern that, and Katie will laugh at this. This is a bit of my self-assurance showing. I remember saying these words and now I look back and it's funny. I said, part of my problem is that I feel like it's tough because I'm pretty good at most of these different things in the online space. So I felt like I kind of thought people aren't going to be able to do as good a job as me. That was where I was. And the irony is now I look at it and I say, that was ridiculous. Like our Bobby Joe on our team, who's the head of our community and customer support. I mean, back when I was doing it myself, if you emailed a customer support thing, you were probably going to get a 1 to 2 sentence answer saying, you know, I'm taking care of it. But that was it. You know, she's going to give you, you know, much more empathy, much more like, you know, everything. And it was just this notion that I was like, yes, my team is going to do it differently than me. But if I get the right team members, they're going to do it better than me. And better because they're particularly suited for that thing. And like Katie, I mean, we are the yin and yang, right? We always joke, like she makes me listen to her talk about details. And I do, even though she knows that realistically the details are for me. Cause I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. But having that detail person is important, right? Because there are a lot of details that have to be taken care of. And so it's little things like that, that I finally recognized me being good at this stuff was actually a blessing, because that meant I could let go and I didn't have to worry, you know, and I could oversee it, but let it happen.
Katie, you were making a funny face during that part. I want to give you next word on that one.
It's true. I mean, like, I'm just thinking of all of our conversations. I mean, if there's sometimes I wish that we could have people tune into our calls, because they are comical how excited I get about the details and how Bobby's just like, you know, I don't care about these. I'm like, you're just care for a minute. You don't have to care for the long term. But because I get really excited about them. But I will say, what's funny is, even though we hold different roles, he's the visionary and I'm the integrator, and he has the visions and I make them happen and I integrate the team, make sure everyone's working together and has what they need. I think there's a huge benefit to the fact that I was an entrepreneur. So I want to go back and talk about that, because when I came on and worked for Bobby, I felt his pain. Like, I know what it was like to work weekends and not see your family, even though you work from home. And in our space, that's common. Like, I knew what it was like to spend hours on designing a PDF when you do not need to be there or want to be there and designing that, or when a launch doesn't go well. I felt that. And so I felt like, I mean, I know Bobby can probably speak to this, having someone that understands your pain. And as an entrepreneur, when you're in the thick of it and you're doing the doing and you're having these ideas and you're in the middle of it, it is sometimes really hard to recognize when you're getting off in the weeds. And sometimes I'd have to go and like, Bobby, let's protect your time. Do not do that this weekend. That's not a priority. And vice versa. He has helped me do that, because there's a lot of details that I'll focus on intently. And he is like, that's not a detail we need to focus on. That's not what you need to be focusing on. And it's very much, because we've both been in the entrepreneur space, but also the dynamic, the personality, whatever it is, it works so well. We're able to counterbalance one another when we need to. And I don't think that it would work as well, especially with Bobby's personality, had I not understood what he was going through as an entrepreneur.
I want to echo that, because I want to be honest. That's one of the things why I think that advice, don't hire someone out of business, is so counterproductive for a lot of people. Because honestly, no one will understand your pain like someone who tried to build their business. And so it's not just Katie, you know, the newest member of our team is now not really that new, but Shelly was building her own business too. So I know that they understand what's involved. They understand, like, they understand false starts. They understand trying stuff that doesn't work. They understand all of these different things. And I mean, it's also nice, they understand marketer math, right? So they understand that when we have, you know, we have these big revenue numbers, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm, you know, buying myself a Lamborghini or something ridiculous like that. So you know, all of that is so helpful. And again, I mean, candidly, the fact that Katie understands it well basically means she's now my coach as much as anything else. And I think I'm her coach. We are each other's primary coaches. And it's good, because we have different problems. We have different issues that kind of plague each of us. I mean, we both work too hard and need someone to maybe help us with that. But it's been very helpful that we have that. And I mean, to her credit, she'll say we're not doing something, even if it, like, because of the way compensation works, it's going to mean that she's going to make less money, because she cares about the business and me as much as or more than making a couple extra dollars. And that's the kind of thing that, look, I always joke with people. I say I lucked into this. I think I lucked into it because I was open, because I did things the right way. But I was lucky basically the first time I hired a true integrator. I mean, she was my second hire, but that we meshed so well. And there was just like something about kind of the skill sets, the personalities, just everything that we mesh. And again, people always ask, like, and how can you recreate that? I was like, look, if I could bottle that and recreate that, I'd be a billionaire right now. I can tell you what we've done. But it really is kind of a mutual respect, I think, is the big thing as much as anything else.
I agree. And I mean, one of the questions we get from a lot of our clients, just people in our audience even, is how do I find a Katie? And I'm like, we have had that question so many times and we've discussed it. Okay, how can we put this into a framework so that they can find the right person? And it is very difficult. And I try to sit there and reverse engineer what makes this work. And I think that I could speak to integrators and I can speak to entrepreneurs in some way, but what attracted me to Bobby was a few things. First of all, the fact that he came into my community and he was so available, I was like, that's an entrepreneur I could get behind. He wasn't looking for something from me. He was just there to serve. And that was in total alignment with my values. And then getting to work with him on the project, he was easy to work with. And not because he didn't care about Steph, but he was just super easy and realistic to work with. Yes, our personalities mesh, but sometimes they clash. Like, let's be honest. Sometimes our personalities totally clash. It is not, you know, rainbows all the time. But there, like you said, there is a mutual respect there because, and I said this when we were at an integrator day with James Wedmore. So they hosted an integrator day where people on his coaching program could bring their integrators. And I was at the table speaking to a couple people, and I said something that I think a lot of people were like, oh, wait a second. And this is really true of any relationship you have, but especially when you're a visionary integrator relationship, is there's no problem that you're coming at from opposite sides. Because you want the same thing. You want the growth of the business. You want to serve your people well. You want to serve your team well. You want a healthy, long-term, successful business. And that's when I come at a problem with Bobby, yet we can be coming at it from two totally different perspectives, but from the same side, because we want the same thing for the business. We're on each other's side. We have each other's backs. And so, but that's how I do relationships with people. And when that's not reciprocated in a business relationship, like a visionary integrator, that's where you have tension that is actually detrimental to the business. And I think even in the tension that we have, we don't have that kind of tension because we want the same thing.
And Winston, you made a mistake by saying you were just going to rev us up and let us talk, because I've got to come in here. because again, and I like Katie, like this may seem throwing her under the bus, but it's not. And what I have to say is, like, some of the people who say, how do I find a Katie? We get in and we've talked to them, and it's clear to us that they think Katie never makes mistakes. And they think that that's the problem. And so, like, they'll have someone who makes one mistake and they're like, you're gone. And, you know, Katie will admit she makes mistakes.
I do.
But again, I think this is part of it. And it goes into what you call level 3 leadership, Winston. I think of it as level 5 leadership, from good to great, which I hadn't even read until recently. But as I'm reading it, I was laughing out loud, because a lot of it is like, I would say describes me. And this is going to sound very weird because I talked about self-assurance. But one of the things about, you know, a top level leader is that they are humble in a very particular way. And what that means is, number one, you hear me talking about luck. I don't think it's because I'm so good that all these things have happened. I attribute a lot of it to luck. But also, even though we joke, and I have a shirt that says hashtag blame Katie, and we joke about that, externally at least, I think Katie would admit, most times I say, if there's a mistake, I made it. I don't ever say my team did it, it's me. And that actually comes from, it's funny, when I was a lawyer. And it doesn't come from this, but it worked well. When I was a lawyer, I practiced as a prosecutor in Fort Worth, Texas, as a federal prosecutor. And there was two judges there, one of which was a judge who literally had his entire docket taken away from him for an entire year for mistreating lawyers, because he was known to be very difficult. And one of the things that I was taught, and I would have done this anyway, like, if my assistant made a mistake, if you're in that courtroom, you don't do that. You say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You take two steps back and you say, I'm sorry again. And that's the approach I bring to life. I'm like, look, if there's a mistake in my business, it's mine. It's on me. It's not on anyone else. And so I think that level of responsibility, and again, in good to great, the way Jim Collins describes it is, these great leaders, mistakes are on me. Greatness is on my team. And I honestly believe that. I mean, because I can see, you know, my team, my growth has exploded since I brought a team on, and they do things in a way that I could never have done. But again, it's weird because I'm very self-assured. I'm quite sure that I know what's good for the business, but I'm also humble in that sense that I don't, you know, I'm not here saying that this business is because of me.
Yeah. And I want to add to that. We're going to keep going, Winston. I think, again, that's another reason, another thing about Bobby that attracted me to being on his team, was that it was a safe place to fail. And a lot of places, and if you're an entrepreneur looking at building a team, they don't create that safe space. So there's amazing people who are people and make mistakes that are being let go of teams because people are expecting a certain level of perfection and not creating that safe space. If you want longevity in your team, you create an environment where people can grow. And that implies that they're going to be making mistakes. And so, you know, just like we talked about, I happen to have experience as an entrepreneur, so I can relate to Bobby on that. I've also had the experience of being an employee and with not very good bosses. I know what it's like every day to try to please a boss and never feel like you can please them. And I want to make sure now that I'm creating an environment for my team that we celebrate the failures and we celebrate the wins. And it's totally okay for you to fail, because we know, Bobby knows, one of the reasons he's gotten to where he has gotten as an entrepreneur is because he did it wrong a lot of the way and then learned how to do it the right way. You know what I mean? And most entrepreneurs are doing that. That's the kind of environment that we want to create for our team as well, is we want you to fail because we know that's where the learning, the good learning, the growth happens.
Yep. One of my mentors says that you're either on the winning team or you're on the learning team. And, and you know, failure is the best teacher sometimes. Bobby, go ahead.
Yeah. So Winston, I wanted to just, I'm going to pull something very quickly out and then you can ask the next question. I want listeners to key on a couple of little phrases that Katie used in there. She didn't describe it as Bobby's team. She said my team and our team. And that, I think, is another key element. Like, and Katie will admit, at first I had to coach her on that. But I've said, this is not my business. This is our business. And I think that's part of it too. She's now bought in 100%. So I don't have to, you know, I know that she treats this as her business, as her team, just like I would. And so I don't have to think twice about it. So I was betting that a lot of people didn't pick up on that. And I just wanted them to hear that's how she described the team.
It's not just our business or my business, our team, my team. This is my vision. So going back to my business and the vision I had to build it, my vision is Bobby's vision and his vision is my vision. It's just, it's exactly the same. I had it in my mind. Usually when you have an idea of how things are going to go, you put your pictures to it. You put your timeframes to it. Bobby did the same thing when he thinks of stuff, but it wasn't until I let go of those things and I started realizing, holy cow, those line up perfectly. This is my vision. I agree with the core values are my core values as a person. That's how I wanted to run my business. I'm bought in. And you can have that with the team without them having their own business. Like, you don't have to just hire entrepreneurs in your business, but the alignment is what you're looking for. Alignment in core values, alignment in vision. And when you can get someone into that, where they adopt it as their own, you're going to have a winning team.
Yeah, I was coming back to your comment about being an entrepreneur, Katie, and also how that probably, because you had to manage both the income and outgo, the value that you were creating, that may have given you a different perspective than the typical employee.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I worked in businesses from top to bottom. I've seen a lot of different areas. I know the investment it takes in time, in money, how it looks. I mean, I've been blessed with the opportunity to have experienced business from different angles. And I do think that has lended to my ability to relate to Bobby, to have a certain kind of compassion on what he's going through, to be firm when I need to be firm. Because he's said, one of the things he's told me early on is no is a complete sentence. When you tell me no, it means no. And that was hard. That was another thing you had to coach me in, Bobby, is when to tell him no, because I had to get out of the mindset that Bobby was my client and really understand that Bobby is my equal here. We're on the same level. Yeah, he's the owner. I'm not an owner. I don't own any part of the business. But in terms of his role and my role in the business, he's my equal. And if he tells me no, it means no. But if I tell him no as the integrator, because I'm looking at all these things that we're at, like workload of the team, you know, all those different things, looking at the finances, all that stuff. If I say no, that means no. And I hate being the person that says no, but sometimes that's for the health of the business or the health of our team and vice versa. I mean, he said no to me many times because he just did not agree with my perspective. And either way that goes in your business, especially if you're in leadership, you have to have an open mind to receive it, to receive the no's, to receive the alternate perspective that is totally against what you're thinking, and be willing to accept when you might be thinking things in a wrong way. And sometimes, you know, we've had conversations when I still believe I'm right, but I'm not going to be so staunch in my belief that this one strategy is wrong or right, that I'm going to have it affect that integrator visionary dynamic, because I don't want that in this space. this is more important than whatever thing I'm holding on to that I think I'm right on. And you know, who knows? Sometimes it proves out he's right. Sometimes it proves out I'm right. I mean, it is what it is. But I think great leadership, you got to set aside ego. Like, it has to go in every sense of the word. It has to go if you want to make it work.
Yeah. And let me share something. And again, we've talked about this. I don't hide this, but Winston, this is something where I think it's fair to say that the way I have structured our compensation is probably unique among any example of someone like me who's a visionary who started a business and then brought an integrator. We get paid exactly the same in the business, her and I. I view her role as important to me. Now, when we're making profits, Bobby takes profits as the owner, as my ownership, but that's not for the work I'm doing in the business. And it was funny, I was talking with one of my accountant friends and clients who was like, well, I don't know what the IRS would say about that and reasonable salary. I said, I will defend that to my death. I will go before the IRS and I will tell them her role in the business is worth as much as mine. I'm not somehow more important. Me being in the face of business is great. If the work's not getting done, we're not making money. And so that's something, and this was from reading, I don't know if it's Rocket Fuel or Traction, but one of them talks about how you, like, the visionary integrator role is very much a partnership. It is not, I boss you around. No, it is a partnership that of people who are essentially equals doing very different things in the business. And I've adopted that. And again, I think Katie would say that that is part of the reason why she can buy in all this. And again, why she makes these decisions. And luckily when she makes a decision now that hurts her comp, it's also going to hurt my comp, but that way it's across the board, but we are 100% aligned. And again, maybe we're not the only people out there, but I've told that to other people and they're like, you're nuts. I'm like, okay, fine. I don't care. That's the way that I'm going to view things. And I believe it's the right way to view things.
Yeah. And I would say 100% the way Bobby structured that is what helped me buy into the vision. And again, I'm not talking about the money. It's not the money. It's the way I was valued. And that's different. How I feel valued is worth more to me than money. And that's how I can say this promotion that we're doing, Bobby, I'm seeing that it's really corrosive to you and your energy. And this is not good for the business, not good for you. It's not good for your family. I'm going to forfeit whatever bonus I was going to get from this. And we are going to not do that promotion. I know you're not going to get a bonus. I'm not going to get a bonus, but you're going to get better rest. You're going to show up better in your business. And that's what I care about. The fact that I can make those decisions and he says, okay, tells me I'm valued. And that's what I had in my own business, minus the ability to actually make impact because my business was struggling. And so I have that now. And that to me helped me buy into this vision and adopt it as my own, because I do feel like I am part of a vision. I'm not just a cog in the business that makes this someone else's vision move forward. I am part of it. And that was important to me.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that expressed before, especially in the online space.
Yeah. I mean, but if you look at like Rocket Fuel and Traction and you look at the classic duos, I mean, it's Steve Jobs and Wozniak. It's people who literally were partners. And again, I think a lot of people don't recognize, but I mean, you could talk about a lot of things. You could look at the E-Myth Revisited, where there's like the technician, the manager, and the entrepreneur, and all of those roles have to be filled. And I think a lot of the entrepreneurs who are struggling in building a team and building a culture and in having the impact they want, it's because candidly, they think too highly of themselves and they don't recognize that getting that other piece, like whichever side it is, if you are like me, I'm heavy visionary. And so I needed someone who is a very strong integrator to do it. If you're only slightly visionary, you need, you know, something, but you need that counterbalance, because otherwise you're going to be having a problem. And again, I want to be clear. If the business does well, I'm still going to make more money because I'm an owner, right? I have that, but people have to get out of this. And again, this is, I guess, part of my benefit of having come from a more traditional world and having worked for public companies and all that, where I understand that there's a difference between the owner hat and the CEO hat, the working in the business hat. That's a very traditional thing. Right? I mean, if you own stock, you're getting paid part of the profits of the company in dividends. Well, that's what it is in our business. But, you know, I just happen to also be the primary work or one of the primary workers in the business. But no, I think to me, again, and Katie would say this, like, let me be clear. When I say I'm humble, I'm not humble in the sense that I ever think I'm wrong. I think Katie would say, I pretty much always think I'm right. I will make decisions. But like she said, once a decision is made, it's made. But I also recognize that you know, at some level, giving up some of that. And I think my self-confidence is part of what allows me to do that. I don't feel threatened. I don't feel like somehow, you know, ooh, if I let someone else have a role. Ooh. But aside from that, Katie knows more about what's going on in the business than I do at any given day. I mean, that is hands down, no questions, because I don't get into details. And so she knows those things. I don't. And so all of this kind of, to me, just fits as, well, yeah, I mean, she's my equal. No questions. She should be paid my equal as working in the business salary wise.
Talk a little bit about how this has freed you up, because everyone has heard this kind of pairing before in terms of the visionary and integrator. And one of the mentors I've listened to talks about that you really need three personalities in a team to really make it work. You need the person that makes it up, person that makes it real, and the person that makes it repeat. This has really freed you up to stay in that visionary role. How's that translated for you in the last year?
Well, I mean, it's so funny because I can think back and I will tell you the moment that I said, wow, okay, I get it now. Okay. Because it was when Katie came on as my project manager. So it was in November of 2019 and I was at a retreat with a mastermind. I was doing a workshop or something. I don't remember what I was calling it, but it was like called Find Your Fans. And I was like, oh, I need a workbook. And I mentioned it. And like, I guess I had slides put together at that point. And Katie said, okay, we'll take care of that. So Katie and her VA do it. And all of a sudden, like they take it. And within like less than 24 hours, I get a workbook back that I'm like, this would have taken me a week and mine wouldn't have been nearly this good. Why did I wait so long to do this? And that's like one little moment of things, but it's all the things. Like I, at this point, I mean, sometimes I get into the details. Sometimes I still do those things, but it has freed me up to do the vision. And what I basically say is at this point, I'm doing the top of the funnel and the bottom of the funnel is basically the way I look at it. The top of the funnel, I'm the one who is the face, who's coming up with the ideas. I am an idea person. I am a content generator just by nature, because I'm constantly having new thoughts, new ideas. And that's part of my genius or whatever you want to call it. We all have our genius. I'm not saying I'm a genius, but that's part of my skill set. My superpower is seeing things, having ideas, being able to put things in a different way. So that's kind of the front end content, the free stuff. So I do that. And then I deal with serving clients and not just clients. I also serve in the free stuff, but largely, you know, coaching people, et cetera. And that's all I have to do. Now, I want to be clear. I'm still doing a lot and we're ramping up content to be more and more and more. So, you know, pretty soon we'll have a piece of content, like either a video, a podcast, or a blog post. We're hoping coming out every single day of the week during the week. And so there's a lot of content involved, but that's all I have to do. And those are my zones of genius, the stuff I love doing, and the stuff that I'm best at, and the stuff that only I can do. Like I'm the only one who can come up with these new ideas. Now I don't want to say other people come up with that new ideas, but they wouldn't be mine, right? So it's freed me up. And if you look at the evolution of my messaging, the evolution of kind of what I've done in the last, like since November of 2019, I mean, it's a no-brainer to see how things have moved, you know, in ways that I couldn't have done before, because I would have had to worry about building the funnels, doing all that stuff. And, you know, all the little things that I have to get done, which now I don't have to worry about. And I'm trying to get Katie to do less of it and get our team to do more of it. But it's even just having, like, I don't have to manage it. I don't have to hold mental space. And this is why I say, like, I will pay attention to her and act like I'm paying attention to the details, but she knows it's going to come in and go out. Because part of it is if I'm holding mental space for that, that's mental space I'm not holding for the stuff I want to be doing and should be doing and that can move the business forward.
Katie, talk about the culture piece of it too, because I know that's been a really important part of your contribution in terms of forming the team. You and I talked a little bit about your core values and some of that earlier last year. Talk about how you talked about how that's aligned with you, but how does that filter now into the team?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, first of all, our core values have grown and evolved a bit since I came on. I mean, we still have the core values that Bobby set in place. As time has gone on and issues come up in our business, we have sat down like, okay, what about this? Our core values currently don't address this specific issue. Like we added this last year, we added the core value of be inclusive. And those are like compasses. When we make every decision in our business, how are we being inclusive? But not just with our offers, not just with how we build our external assets for our audience. It's also for our team and how we function in our team and how does our team feel about being part of our team? How do they feel when they're working on the project in the business as part of our team? And so for me, again, having been someone on teams where I didn't feel like I was part of that, I did feel more like a cog and I was, you know, I was just not part of that vision. Having those core values from the outset, bringing people in and explain to them, or even before we hire, I mean, we actually put our core values on our job listings when we're hiring, because we want to make sure that from the second they step in the door and they get onto our team and they start working, even on a trial basis, that our core values are aligned. Because if you're working on a team that you don't, this is speaking as a team member, you're working on a team that you really don't agree with how they approach things, or you don't really agree, you know, with their core values, it is just not going to be a good environment for you to work in. You are working in an environment that's contrary to your core values. And when we hire, we don't want that for people. We don't want that for our team, and we don't want that for other people that we would be bringing on our team. And so having that at the outset of even hiring is really, really important, I think. Bobby, do you have anything else to say on that in terms of how our core values really...
So part of it is a lot of people claim, and I won't say claim, yeah, I should say they claim to have core values. They have the values that are on somewhere written down, but nobody really follows them or lives them. I think the difference was, like, I created core values like within my membership, which predated Katie joining my team, called the Fans First Society. And I was describing them as, these are the core values that I live by, but that also will help you create raving fans. But I didn't go out and say, well, what do I want my core values to be? No. I looked and said, what am I doing? How am I living? Because I think part of it is, and Katie made this comment, like, so she, and I only thought about it because she reposted something she had posted a year ago when we first met in person, where she said, there is no different, Bobby. I am 100% me, no matter what. Whether you're in a team meeting, you're seeing me in person, you're seeing me at an event, you're seeing me serving my community, you're seeing me, no matter where I am the same person. And so what that has done, and it's not just for team, like, my audience is made up of people who resonate with that. And then my team, I just draw those people to me, because if they don't like the way I operate, if they don't like the way I'm living my life, they're not going to be in my world no matter what. And so, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. And again, we could talk about all the different core values, but really, when people think of me, they probably think of two, most importantly. One is radical giving, and the other one is that we make business fun. And I honestly believe that. I think if you're not having fun in your business, and I don't mean every single day, but if you're not having fun, there's something wrong. That's like a big warning sign. To get back to, like, Katie be inclusive, to us, that's almost just like, well, duh. And I mean, it's this thing where, like, we recognize, like, at some point, so in the lead up to our event that we ran in December, where we announced my free training program, where we're just giving all of our stuff away for free. We're training people, we're adding courses, all that. And again, I think I raised it beforehand. Like in the week of the lead up, I said, Katie, do you realize that this literally is just us? And I don't know if it was before or after. This is just us living out our be inclusive. We want to make entrepreneurship inclusive so that people who can't afford to go and buy all the $1,000 courses can still learn what they need. And it hit her, because it didn't even hit me that, you know, I'm not out there like talking about values. We're just living them. And I think that's a big piece of it. So that, I mean, if people don't like that, they're not going to ever, I mean, they're just not going to come into my world, because they're going to be like, this guy's nuts. I don't want to be around him. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I totally forgot about that with BOMU when we were looking at that. We had set that as one of our core values months before that. But he was like, did you realize, we didn't sit down intentionally, how can we make this more inclusive? It just clicked for him. Do you realize that we are living our core values without even trying? And that's how you know you've got good core values. And again, I want to go back to our core values. It's not just how we show up for our audience. It doesn't just dictate the kinds of offers we make. those are how we show up for each other and behind the scenes 100% of the time. And again, it's not that we have to think about doing that. It's because that's the culture that we've created from the outset. When someone is hired onto our team, they know whether or not to reply to that job posting based on how we treat each other, how we treat our people in our audience, no matter if they're buyers or team members. And that's huge. And that's kind of lost on some people in the space. A lot of people look at, I'm the entrepreneur, I'm hiring people to help me get these things done so I can make more sales. But there is no service to the people who are doing the doing in your business. There's no thought process of service. There's no mentality of service to those people. It's all, how can we create more value for the people we serve? Sometimes not even that, but how can we create more value, put up more content, or make more sales is usually what it sounds like. How can we make more sales? And that is like the driving factor for the person heading the business. Hey, I need you to get this thing done because we need to make a sale. I need you to do this because we need to make a sale. We need to increase the numbers. Meanwhile, they don't realize that their internal team is imploding. And those people are probably looking for their next opportunity that's outside of the team because they don't have a home. And so when you create a team environment, you have those core values to anchor you, to keep Bobby and I, since we're kind of leading the whole team, anchored and on track. We have our North Star, we have our compass here, and we're anchored. That means that's where the team is going to be. And we're creating a home environment for our team to stay long term. And of course, there's always going to be turnover in team. I mean, it just happens to be that way. There are going to be people that come and people that go. Right now, our team is like, as far as we know, they're like long-term team members. I know I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to speak for the rest of the team, but from the feedback we've gotten, they're in it to win it. And that is what you want. And I think the core values really, really help establish that.
Well, and here's something, Winston. I mean, one of the things I love teaching people and telling people, the great thing, my job is the same, whether I'm talking to my audience or the team. My job is to lead. My job is to lead, to set a vision, to cast that vision for them and to help them achieve it. And that's one of the most freeing things for me, is because I'm the same no matter what, I don't have to say, well, what hat am I wearing? No, I'm just being me. And I like telling people this, that, and again, we could get into geeky marketing stuff. Like, under the current concept of marketing, marketing involves your relationship with your team, just FYI. That's part of marketing. But to me, it's the same. Like, and I love the way you put it. I went and listened to episode 68, the way you described it. Like, I know that, like, Bobby Joe, our community manager, is going to be interacting with people in a lot of cases before I do. And if I don't have her bought into my vision, to my values, et cetera, how can I know that my people are going to have the right experience? And so, like, to me, it's just, you know, anybody who's trying to do anything different between team and audience, stop it. Be the same. And that will serve you so well.
All right, friends, that's just part one of this incredible interview. I hope you come back next week for part two, where we finish this conversation and just so many more pearls to come. All right, friend. Finally, I'm curious about where you are on your journey of building a team that you love. This is the path for Love of Team, is the path that helps you multiply your impact, your income, your margin, and freedom in business. And this is a world, you can have it, imagine, where you can surround yourself with others doing work they love, simplifying your own business processes so that ultimately you can serve more focused on the work that you love. It just takes focus and intentionality. So if this is interesting to you, you need support, text me right now, 1-754-800-9461. Text me or leave me a voicemail there. There's no autoresponders or bots, just me. I want to hear from you at 1-754-800-9461. And remember, leaders simplify teamwork, multiplying your impact, your income, your margin, and freedom in business. I'll catch you on the next episode.